Chapter 6 Draco rises from his desk. Potter, he says, gesturing to one of his chairs, please come in. How can I help you? Potter walks in, closing the door behind himself, but he doesn't sit. Instead, he hovers awkwardly behind the chair. His hands flutter over the chair's back, gripping and releasing it. Wanted to see when you were coming home. I made dinner. Draco blinks. When is he coming home? He wasn't planning on returning to the manor at all, he realizes. Had hoped to hide out here until Potter left. You said I could stay as long as I needed to, says Potter, as though he can read Draco's mind. Draco sighs and sits back down at his desk, running his hands through his hair. Yes. Stay. Please. And you? What? You'll stay here? I stay here often, says Draco. Don't lie. Don't bluff. You don't know my habits, Potter. You don't know anything about me. There's no couch in here, Potter replies, back straightening, and there's barely any magical residue, which there would be if you were transfiguring any of the furniture into one. You can feel magical residue? Don't change the subject. Is my presence really so unbearable that you can't stand to spend the night in your own home while I'm inside it? To his credit, Potter's voice doesn't waver. Draco can't help but grit his teeth. He's trying. Truly. Trying to create some kind of boundary between himself and the mess, which is Potter. You're a mess too. A small voice at the back of his mind murmurs, supplying him with the ever-so-helpful image of Potter bare and moaning on Draco's bed. I'm trying to give you space, snaps Draco, voice rising with every word. You clearly need it. Well, don't! Fine, Draco shouts. I won't! When had they started to shout? Potter must notice it at the same time, for he freezes, then gives Draco a sheepish grin. Good, he says. Let's go home then, before the dinner I made you gets cold. Potter, this is highly inadvisable. For me or for you? And how is Draco supposed to answer that? Last time Potter burst into his life, it had taken him weeks to stop expecting him around every corner. What will this time do to him? For me, Potter? Always for me. Everything just slides off of you. You're being a right git. Potter, that's not the point. What is the point then? It's just dinner. You have something against food? Sighing, Draco gives up. He rises to his feet and comes around the desk to collect his cloak. You made me dinner? He asks, throwing the cloak around his shoulders and following Potter out of the room. How else does one show gratitude to someone who has everything? You don't need to, Draco starts. You don't owe me anything. Potter snorts. Could you imagine yourself saying that at school? You would have done anything to have me in your debt. Stop it, Potter. I'm being serious. I know, says Potter. He stops, turns to face Draco. I know, Malfoy. I'm just teasing you. Teasing, you know? Joking? Ha ha. People do that sometimes. Shut up, Potter. As they step out into Diagon Alley, Potter's face morphs. His hair turns brown, his jawline softens, his nose grows, and the emerald green of his eyes turns muddy. Don't want to be seen with me, sneers Draco. Don't want to be seen, period. Care to tell me what you're hiding from? Why haven't you found out for yourself? Finding out, Draco says, would be an invasion of your privacy. Potter rolls his eyes. How chivalrous of you. Draco looks down at him, considers leaving it there. I'm afraid, he admits quietly, that if I start reading the news again, I won't be able to stop. It makes me feel like the world is ending, even when it's not. The world is always ending somewhere. Draco gives him a small nod. They walk the rest of the way to the apparition point in companionable silence. All right, Potter. Out with it. What's going on? Potter picks at his pasta for a while. Then he leans back against his chair with a sigh, looking at Draco. "Nothing," he says, shrugging a shoulder. Draco raises an eyebrow. "I woke up one morning and realized that everyone had moved on. Everyone was living, and I was still faking it till I make it. It was a great strategy when the war had ended. Move through life as though everything were just fine. But it never actually became fine. Well, it did for everyone else. For them, the war has been relegated to history. But for me, it's still here. I see them everywhere. The people I killed. And here's the kicker. As much as I hate it, I also miss it. Because I knew what I was doing. I knew what I was waking up for. And now I don't. You need a better job." Potter laughs. "No, I'm serious. You need something you can invest yourself into." "And that's worked out so well for you, I see. There's more to life than work and sleep, you know. Perhaps for you, Potter. Your name doesn't come attached with horror. Doesn't it? You know what I did in the cleanup." "Yes, Draco does." The ministry had been flooded with accusations of dark magic, left, right, and center. Neighbors reporting on neighbors, children reporting on parents. Few went willingly when the DMLE showed up at their door. It was a time when a drawn wand was enough to make an Avada Kedavra forgivable, excusable, easy to explain. Especially when the Daily Prophet was full of righteous anger, publishing every claim of dark affiliation with no interest in its validity and source. And Potter had been right at the epicenter, along with Weasley, leading raid after raid, cleansing the world of residue evil. Too bad he's forgotten to clean Draco up in the process. "Is that why you don't want to be in the same house as me?" Potter asks abruptly, bringing Draco's attention back to himself. "Are you afraid that I'll hurt you?" Draco barks a laugh. "I'm stronger than you, magically," Potter persists. "Perhaps, but I know spells that will make your blood curl. Trust me, if we were fighting to the death, it's hardly a certainty that you would come out the victor. Joining the Dark Lord did not come without benefits. His followers supported him for reasons far beyond the ideological." "Is that why you..." "Potter, my family had been aligned with Riddle since my grandfather financed him and his stupid movement back before the First War even started. He thought he'd support the Radical and then defeat him, securing himself a position as Minister for Magic. Instead, he ended up chaining himself to a life of servitude, right along with the rest of his kind. There was no way out, not for father or mother, though she joined Voldemort more by association than through any real personal decision-making, or for me. Mother and father were trying to smuggle us out of the country the night I took the mark. We were almost at the manor gates when he'd arrived, informing them that he would, in fact, make use of the hospitality they never offered. He knew we were trying to run. I could see it in his eyes, in the hungry way he looked at us. It still baffles me that he didn't kill us right then. Draco closes his eyes against the memory, that moment of quashed hope. I had begged for the mark in the end. On my knees. Potter doesn't say anything, watches Draco. Finally, he nods, rising, and places a warm hand on Draco's shoulder, squeezing. Draco nearly folds in on himself from the sheer amount of support, of understanding he finds in the gesture. Then Potter releases his shoulder, picks up their plates, and takes them to the sink. Draco watches him a while, imagines coming up behind him, taking him by the slim waist, pressing his mouth into the side of Potter's neck. Imagines how he would smell, how he would feel, the muscles bunching under the soft cashmere of Draco's sweater, how he'd shudder in Draco's arms. Clearing his throat, Draco looks away. "People must be looking for you," says Draco. "The DMLE must be beside itself. I haven't been an Aura in nearly 3 years." "Oh? What have you been doing then?" "Paperwork." "Potter, don't make me wretched out of you with pliers." Got myself transferred to magical animal regulations. Mostly just process fines put on overzealous parents that can't say no to their children when they want something rare and endangered as a household pet. I see. Well, aren't they looking for you? I quit this morning. Draco frowns. Are you going through an early midlife crisis? No. Fine, says Draco, Granger and the Weasleys then. We're not on speaking terms at the moment. I'm sure you can fix whatever you... By at the moment, I mean the last 3 years. What the hell? Don't give me your shit, Malfoy. You live in a hollowed-out husk of a house. Abruptly, Draco is on his feet. You don't like it, he snarls. Get out. Potter stiffens. Clean plate halfway to the cupboard. You said... I said? I don't give a fuck what I said. You're rude and obnoxious, and I still don't have a fucking clue as to what you are doing here. You're right. I'm sorry, Malfoy. I'm sorry. It's a beautiful manner. I won't get in your way, I promise. No more dinners, Potter, Draco snaps, rising. You and I are not friends. With that, he stalks from the kitchen, ignoring how Potter's face shudders at his last words.